True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Evan Giddings with you, flying solo here for 4 hours on a Black Friday. Well, not exactly so solo. I got Steven Risotto here. I got Zachary Green here. And I got my guy Brennan here, who's helping out in the back. There are more producers than there are hosts, and it makes me feel very uncomfortable as someone that typically resides behind the glass. But we're going to try and get through it today, and we're going to get trying through it together. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to talk some 49ers, obviously a big game for them on Sunday with the Cleveland Browns. The Golden State Warriors, I don't know who the hell they are at this point when they're 510-10, now without Curry, who's injured. And we're going to have a little fun with some Black Friday stuff that Pasta, a.k.a. Steven Risotto, has prepared for us. So looking forward to that. But I'm going to be honest, this is the first four-hour solo show that I have ever done. And I always wonder, all right, when you're about to embark on a solo mission, and I've done a few. I've done some cross-country trips. I've gone on solo flights. I think most people at one point or another have kind of broken the seal, right? You've lost your solo virginity, for lack of better terms. And so I wonder if this is what Yuri Gagarin felt like, Pasta. And a lot of people are quite familiar with Sputnik, all right? Sputnik was the first piece of astronomical machinery that was sent into space by the Russians back in the early 50s. It's kind of the basis for the start of what turned it into the Cold War, right? They beat us to space, so we had to figure out how to put a man on a moon. I'm talking about Russia and America. And I promise we will talk sports at some point today, but the whole point of doing 4 hours is I can talk about whatever I want. So Yuri Gagarin was actually the first man who went to space in a very, I guess, kind of seldom described journey on the Vostok 1. Now, the Vostok 1 was the first, the first journey into space in which they did a full orbital circle around Earth. And this journey, as I found out earlier this morning, as I was thinking of things that I could compare this to, Pasta, did you know it took an hour and 48 minutes to go a full orbital turn around the Earth?
I didn't know that.
So what they're telling me that I have to do today is talk for longer than Yuri Gagarin was in space for the first time of any human. The first human that went to space was only in space for half the amount of time that I have to talk today on 95.7 The Game. I feel like that's unfair.
I'm excited for this, though. I think that you're going to have a show that kind of transcends anything that was ever done in space.
Well, it's certainly going to be different than anything that was done in space. I don't know if they had broadcasts in space, but my point is, I wonder what he felt like. And I wonder what doing a journey like that in which you're, I don't know, probably half scared. You're obviously prepared as much as you can be, but you're doing something that you've never done before. I'm not trying to compare what I'm doing now to the first man to enter space, but I just found it interesting that that's one that was kind of rarely talked about, because obviously Neil Armstrong, the first man that gets to the moon. That's the one that everybody here in America remembers. We remember Sputnik or Chronicle Sputnik because it's the first thing that was actually sent into space. There's even a Russian dog that gets talked about more than our guy Yuri. But I'm going to embark on a solo journey today. And I got a little bit of help. So I appreciate everybody that's tuned in today and that is willing to kind of hang with me among my four-hour solo journey. All right. So where do you think we should start today, Stephen? Now, obviously, we do have Warriors on the back end. We're also going to talk to Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle. He's going to join us at about 3:15, so looking forward to talking with him. But it feels only appropriate that the Niners and the Browns are kind of where we start today. So we took a poll, and really the poll was between myself and Stephen before the show. I'm embellishing a little bit. I hold somewhat of a higher piece of the pie when it comes to voting. But the Niners are the team that, to me, are the most interesting team in the Bay Area. And somewhat of it, I think a lot of it is because of process of elimination. They're later in their year. They are 8-4. I think after winning last weekend, or earlier this week, I should say, on Monday against the Carolina Panthers, I feel like they're kind of almost playoff bound. But the story this weekend, it's the quarterbacks. And it always is, seemingly, for the Niners, really since Kyle Shanahan has become head coach, who the quarterback is, how much belief you have in the quarterback. And it still feels like there's some trepidation surrounding Brock Purdy. So I'll leave that there. Because the story in Cleveland is also the quarterback. And I'm not really sure with Dan DeVone and Carter Chickering, when they were, you know, gobbling for 4 hours, just spewing their takes all across these airways, were, you know, yapping about when I supplied them with a subject for the last hour of their show, and Shedeur Sanders. But to me, I think he's a fascinating sports figure right now. And I think comparing him with Brock Purdy, like when I woke up this morning, I was thinking about, all right, people have some belief in Brock, and I think people are not necessarily in a place where they're rooting for Shedeur Sanders, but they're trying to figure out what he's all about. I think coming out of college, he was a guy who I didn't think was that great, but obviously put up big numbers at Colorado. His name was bigger than his game, and I think it's begun to regress back towards the mean a little bit, where people are now to the place where he's been humbled, you know, fifth-round pick, third quarterback, and now finally gets his opportunity because of injuries along with trades and them sending Flacco over to Cincy. But why I think they're both interesting is because for very different reasons, they are quarterbacks who people, I think, still don't believe in, relatively speaking, or are kind of out on. You know, I think people have enough faith in Brock Purdy, but on the heels of a 3-interception and 3-possession Monday Night Football performance against the Panthers, understanding they still won the football game, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions so far this year, you go back a year plus, there's some signs that, you know, Brock Purdy might not be the quarterback that he was for his first year and a half, and that's totally understandable. And so I think that there is doubt surrounding the San Francisco quarterback right now. I think there's also doubt surrounding Shedeur Sanders. And what fascinates me is the reason for the disbelief in both. Like, Shedeur makes a lot more sense, right? I think that a lot of people, again, believe that his name is bigger than his game. The way that he talks about himself, the confidence, the bravado. I think a lot of people would call it cockiness. That has them believing that Shedeur is maybe not somebody that they want to, you know, invest in. Although I think against the Raiders, he looked fine. I think he looked like a third-string quarterback, and he performed well, and he got them the win. And now he's got an opportunity to get a little bit of runway and prove if he can play in this league, which I think he probably can. Meanwhile, Brock Purdy is someone that I think because of how he entered the league, there's still that residue of, well, he's just the seventh rounder. You know, his physical attributes make him a seventh rounder. The decisions that he's made with the football the past year and a half, he looks like more of a seventh rounder than the guy that put up unbelievable numbers with a great team. and helped lead the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl appearance. And there's still a lingering of doubt that I sense among fans, among media members, that I myself harbor as well. I mean, it's hard to not... I'd consider myself more of a Brock Purdy supporter than most, but it was really hard for me to watch that Monday Night Football game and not think, oh my God, like, what is this guy doing with the ball? Because there were a couple of bad choices, there were a couple of bad throws, and as much as you can go out there and Kyle Shanahan said, you know, I like the decisions, didn't like the execution, Brock Purdy, believe, you know, all that stuff is well and good. You can't turn over the ball that much. You cannot throw the amount of interceptions in 2025 the way that Brock Purdy's been throwing picks. And in his first two starts since coming back from the toe injury, it's been Jekyll and Hyde, right? It's been three touchdowns, 133 quarterback rating against the Arizona Cardinals, and it's been a three-pick performance against the Panthers. Now, they won both of them, and I think that should count for something, but I'm also not a guy who predicates my opinion about a quarterback based solely off their win-loss record. To me, the eye test matters, the context matters, and how you play with the situation you've been given matters. I don't think that Brock Purdy put his team in a great position to win on Monday night. I thought the defense did an unbelievable job taking advantage of a Carolina Panthers team that I don't think is as good as people believe them to be. They're a 6-win team, but they have losses to the Saints, who I think are awful. They've lost to the Cardinals, who I think are not very good. Yes, they have beaten the Packers, who I think are an up-and-down team. Like, the Carolina Panthers, to me, they went into that game with a negative 43 score differential. That's not a good football team. The Niners, to me, are, I think, a good team, but I don't look at them as a contender. And I think that's how a lot of people view the quarterback right now, as a guy who's good, but a guy who's not elite. And the money, I think, does factor into this for some. But to me, these were conversations we were having before he got paid. These were conversations when we were trying to figure out, all right, is this guy a franchise quarterback? Is this someone who you want to give the keys to the kingdom to? And the Niners decided to do that. I was a supporter of it. I think in general, when you have a quarterback in the NFL, you pay them and you figure out the rest later. But this week, he's going up against, again, somebody that I think there is doubt about. And I'm wondering, like, the kind of, I don't know if it's comparison, but I think the connection between the two QBs on the field in Cleveland on Sunday, between Brock Purdy and Shedeur Sanders, is that people still don't believe in them. That people still don't believe that they can be what either they're paid to be or what they believe themselves to be. And I think that's the case where Brock Purdy is paid to be the franchise quarterback. He's paid to be someone who wins games. He's paid to be somebody who leads you to the playoffs and can hopefully get you to a Super Bowl. And people don't believe that he can do that. Shedeur Sanders, meanwhile, is someone who believes that he can be maybe a future franchise quarterback, but certainly a guy in this league. And he kind of talks with the same confidence that his dad did. Only his dad is maybe the greatest cornerback of all time, and certainly one of the more dynamic players in the history of the NFL. So when Primetime was talking the way that he did, well, then it was all good because he was able to back up the way that he was talking. That's not the case, or hasn't been the case so far, for Shedeur Sanders in the NFL. And some of that is he hasn't been allowed to be, but I think with the way that he fell in the draft, you know, some of the stories that were told about his conversations with teams being scared of him because of, again, just how exuberant his personality is, there's a little bit of disbelief in him. And I think he's in a different way, as, you know, he's more polarizing than Brock Purdy is. But here in the Bay Area at a local level, Brock Purdy, I think, is a polarizing subject. Some people feel great about him. Other people think that he is a pumpkin. Other people believe that he's somewhere in the middle, which is kind of where I fall. I think that Brock Purdy is someone that on certain days I could see being the guy that I'd want to be my quarterback, and on other days I wonder what the hell he's doing with the ball. That's where I think that he's taken a little bit of a, not a step back, but he's certainly changed the way that I've viewed how he's played over the past, you know, 3.5, 4 seasons that he's been in the NFL, right? At the beginning of his career, it felt like this guy could not only do no wrong, but he made all the correct choices. You know, the decisions that he felt confident in on Monday Night Football and that his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, backed him up on, those were decisions that we saw always produce positive results. And I don't want to say that the NFL is just a make-or-miss league, but I don't believe that Brock Purdy has made great choices. And some of that has been because of the surrounding cast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Asked, it's been because things are a little more difficult for him, and as a result, he's had to put the ball into harm's danger a lot more. And I kind of think that's also who he is. Like, when Brock Purdy played at Iowa State, the term gunslinger is thrown around, I think, a bit too much. But he was an aggressive quarterback. He was somebody who wasn't afraid to make the game-winning touchdown or throw the game-winning pick, just like he did against the Seattle Seahawks in the first week of the season. That play down the stretch of that game where he kind of rolled out to his right, you know, bought some time, threw up a jump ball to Jake Tonjes. That to me is the quarterback that I think that he thinks that he is and has kind of always been. He's someone who's not afraid to be aggressive. He's someone who's not afraid to take chances. And that's where I believe he also gets himself into trouble, because I'm not sure that Kyle Shanahan wants him to be that player. I don't know if he wants him to be the guy who takes risks and puts his entire team in the palm of his right hand, which, of course, people would consider small. But the whole point is, I think that Brock Purdy is still kind of grappling with the kind of quarterback that he wants to be and that Kyle Shanahan wants him to be. And they were able to work in unison through the first year and a half when he wasn't doing a whole lot. And that's where I really think that in order for Purdy to help this football team on Sunday, he has to get back to basics. And I think that he will. I think Brock Purdy is a guy that typically is someone who, when he has a bad game, he doesn't compound it. Probably the Christmas Day game, 2023, is the game that everyone would point to and say that was the worst game of his performance. Prime time, there was 4 interceptions. I think they had 5 turnovers as a team that day, but then it got absolutely blown out by the Baltimore Ravens. And I think that Brock Purdy is somebody who showed that he doesn't let those performances linger. A lot of people might forget, but the next week against Washington, he had a 130 quarterback rating. And he absolutely dominated the Washington Commanders. And again, not as good of a team as Baltimore. But the point is, everyone points to that game, and I remember Steve Young talking about it, that was the game where things sort of changed for Brock. And I don't know if he felt like they figured him out. Mike McDonald, who now is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, was then the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, how things have sort of gone negatively for the Niners. I wouldn't necessarily look at it like that, but that definitely was an inflection point for a lot of people because it opened up. It was the first time that Brock Purdy just made mistake after mistake after mistake, and it didn't feel like within the game he was able to adjust, and they got absolutely waxed as a result. That's the same feeling that I had watching Brock Purdy on Monday night against the Panthers. A feeling of, is this guy going to get it through his head that he cannot do that with the football? And the answer was no, which is why they didn't attempt to pass further than 19 yards, and I think it was 15 air yards, in the second half. They ran the ball. They relied on their defense. I think there was also a reliance on the Panthers not being good enough to overcome the 2-score lead that the Niners eventually built for themselves. And they just said, Brock, you're not going to lose us this game. And that's where, again, as the franchise quarterback and with a less than stellar cast, certainly in comparison to a team like 2023, you do have to wonder sometimes, does Brock Purdy want to be the reason why they win or lose a game? Because to me, that's when almost he was at his best, is when, yes, as the signal caller, as the quarterback, you're delivering the ball, you're making the decisions, you're making the throws, and he was really good. But almost sometimes when he got out of his own way, I felt like the offense could just take care of itself. When he took care of the football, when he put the ball in the hands of his playmakers, which he still does have. Certainly they're not as good as the cast that he had in 2023, but he still has Christian McCaffrey, obviously. George Kittle is still on this team and playing good football. You know, I'd argue that when given an opportunity, Ricky Pearsall, before his injury, showed that he could be a playmaker for this football team. Had 300-yard games in his first 4 of the season. Like, Ricky Pearsall could be a playmaker. That, to me, is where I think that we're going to see a different Brock on Sunday. Also because of the conditions, which we can get into in a little bit, he's going to have to be. This is not going to be a game where Brock Purdy is going to be allowed to drive the ball down the field. And I don't think he's somebody that necessarily listens to all the noise and what he does and can't do. But I do think that Brock Purdy is someone who is a naturally aggressive quarterback. Like he wants to push the ball down the field. You know, I don't know, but he's a guy who, again, if he has a chance to hit a home run or slap the ball the other way for a single, like he's going to swing for the fences. He's taking his A swing. And in one breath, I understand why you would want a guy like that. You want a guy to be aggressive. You want a guy who wants the pressure. But at some point, if that home run isn't there, I need you to take singles. Okay, so your first at bat, you're up against a guy and you're trying to hit a home run. It's an 0-2 count. He makes you look like a fool. And you walk back to the dugout. When you're in the dugout or when you're on the sideline, Brock Purdy, there needs to be something called an adjustment. And that's what I didn't see on Monday night. And I think what people believe is kind of what it made them feel, essentially, like that Monday night football game on Christmas Day against the Baltimore Ravens. Like, those two performances, the Ravens game and the Panthers game, they were very, very similar. And I think that's what scares people a little bit about Brock Purdy right now. All right, when we come up on the other side, I promise you, again, we got a lot more to talk about here. I do want to get into, number one, you know, kind of scares me a little bit about this game for the 49ers. I also want to get into the quarterbacks league-wide, honestly, where Brock Purdy fits and what I think people are feeling about him in comparison to other quarterbacks. Continuing to also break down, again, what I think this game is really about on Sunday for the San Francisco 49ers, as they are 8-4. A win essentially has them in a position to punch their ticket to the postseason heading into the bye week. A loss doesn't knock them out of contention, but again, a win, I think, basically puts them there. And in a season that has been so up and down and marred by injuries and a roller coaster ride, that would be a pretty unbelievable feat for the Niners to be 9-4 after 13 weeks. All right, Evan Giddings, 95.7 The Game, and we're going to step aside and be back after this. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Extra offensive lineman in there, Jake Curhan for the Panthers on first and goal. Young keeps. He's got a man, and he's picked by Jair Brown.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings with you up until 4 o'clock here on a Black Friday. Hope everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. That was one of the worst interceptions I've seen all season. Bryce Young could have run that ball for a touchdown. He also could have thrown it. I think he had another tight end in front of him, but Jair Brown sort of crept back and snuck back into the picture, baited him, if you will, and had one of his two interceptions in that football game. I think he was rewarded with NFC Defensive Player of the Week. So congratulations to Jair Brown, because he's kind of had a rough season. All right, before we go any further, Steven Risotto, Pasta, can I ask you how you spent your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so my Thanksgiving was good. I enjoyed it with just the family, just the normal family, no intermediate family this year. It was just kind of us. It was nice. It was calm. Had a lot of turkey. My mom made turkey and ham and all the Thanksgiving foods we still had. And then after Thanksgiving dinner, we all gathered around and we watched the brand new HBO A-Rod documentary. So it's called Alex vs. A-Rod, or A-Rod vs. Alex on HBO, and we spent our Thanksgiving evening watching all three parts of that.
Well, that's number one. Pretty interesting. Number two, I am always skeptical about documentaries, because I think in a lot of cases, and maybe more recent ones, but a lot of them are puff pieces. They're propaganda for whoever has made them. I think, you know, like the Michael Jordan documentary, very more steered towards Mike, and I think improving his legacy and a lot of the younger people's, just reminding them how great he was, or the 10-part series, pardon me. Mm. But HBO is one of the few places where I think that when they do a documentary or put a documentary in their selection, a lot of them are pretty cut and dry. So I got to ask this follow-up before I get into really why you guys are watching A-Rod on Thanksgiving night. Did you think that it was fair, the documentary towards Alex Rodriguez?
It was very much fair. And I mean, there were people ripping him throughout. Like, you had Mike Francesa on there, and he was kind of ripping Alex, and Katie Couric was on there, who A-Rod infamously lied to. So there's a few people on there that you know, kind of took the other side of what Alex was saying. And, you know, he kind of got the chance himself to open up a little bit. I don't think it was a puff piece that much. I mean, I think from what I understand, he didn't have a final say in what went into that documentary, as maybe Michael Jordan probably did in his. So a little bit different, but I think it was a pretty fair documentary.
Okay, that's good to hear. Now, my follow-up to that would be, how did you guys decide to watch a documentary on Thanksgiving evening? Like, a lot of people will huddle around, I don't know if they have fireplaces anymore in some houses, but they'll huddle around the television and watch. Last night it was the Ravens and the Bengals, or I don't know, maybe you'll put on a holiday film. And how did you guys decide that the A-Rod documentary was the one that you, mom, dad, brother,
yep,
all wanted to watch?
I can't answer that, Evan. I can't. You know, even if I wanted to give you a good answer, I don't think I could. But it was just something that, like, I had wanted to watch for a while, and I asked the family, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure. So it was better than Mary Poppins or Charlie Brown or any of that.
Easy.
What did you watch?
What did we watch? Well, yeah. We watched the Ravens and the Bengals game, and then after that, we had a little dessert. My brother's girlfriend made an awesome pistachio tiramisu, which was really good, and Mom had some tea, and then we called it a little early because, so I think most people, I don't know, people eat around, I would say anywhere between 2 and 4 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, and we didn't do a massive Thanksgiving dinner because we're going to do that tonight after I'm done here, again, up until 4 o'clock, but as a result, it wasn't a huge dinner. We had some pasta, actually, shout out to you, and we then decided to basically shut it down because we had gone out Wednesday night. Now, Wednesday is one of the greatest party days in and on the calendar. So some, I don't really like the blackout Wednesday thing because I don't think people always black out. But thank you. But it's a perfect time. And was talking to our other producer, Zach Green, about this. It's typically a day where high schoolers, friends from high school, all come back together. And for the first few years, you're either out of college or maybe you're on your first job. It's a day where you can all just get back, have a few, talk about what's been going on. And as you get older and, you know, you move into your 30s now like I am, you'll find out that those opportunities become fewer and fewer. People get married. People have kids. People move across the country. People aren't coming back for Thanksgiving. So the day before Thanksgiving is where you can all really kind of relive the old days, so to speak. So as a result of that, went out on Wednesday night into Thursday morning, and by the end of the night game last night, I just was not feeling it. So tonight we'll do our bigger Thanksgiving get together, and I got some cousins coming over, and I got a couple family friends coming over, and yeah, and so tonight's going to be a little more familial, I guess. I don't think we're going to be watching the A-Rod documentary, though, Pasta. I hate to break it to you.
That's disappointing to hear.
So what we will be doing this weekend, though, is probably watching the 49ers and the Browns. And in the first segment, kind of talked about the comparisons I feel between Brock Purdy and Shedeur Sanders. And some people might feel like that's a stretch, and that's up to you. But what interests me about both of them is the reason or non-reason for disbelief, right? I think for Shedeur, in college, he was a confident, explosive player. Sometimes I didn't like how he would throw some of his teammates under the bus. I like quarterbacks and, in general, team leaders that are a little more inward looking when it comes to assessment of their own play and basically just taking responsibility. I don't think Shedeur always did that. But I think a lot of his detractors focus just more on sort of perceived flaws based on an attitude that they don't think is justified by the results of his play, right? He's brash, he's cocky, he's aggressive. I think Brock Purdy has maybe a cocky, aggressive playing style, but he certainly doesn't act that way when he gets to the podium. So what scares me right now about Brock Purdy, not just going into this game, but I would say moving forward, before last night was the turf toe injury. And the reason for that is I host a pregame show, the kickoff show, every Sunday here on 95.7 The Game with the great Lorenzo Neal, Hall of Fame nominee. And he has described to me what he's seen in those NFL locker rooms from guys who have turf toe. And it's just such an unpredictable injury that impacts how you practice or the inability to practice, how you are running, and sort of the things that you're doing subconsciously. Like, I thought it was interesting that earlier this week, Stein and Guru had, his name's Ethan Sherwood Strauss, he used to cover the Warriors, but he wrote an article recently now in his Substack about his own experience with turf toe. And one of the things that he described to the guys was how he's not even aware that he's not using his toe, or he's not aware that he is basically not activating to his 100% capability the use of his big toe. And that's something that, look, he's not an athlete and, you know, hasn't gone through the surgeries and probably the rehabilitation that a lot of these guys have, certainly not like Brock, but that's something that kind of lingers with me, because if it's an injury that you subconsciously don't take into account, then that's going to impact the way you play. And I thought on Monday, Brock Purdy moved pretty well. You know, we saw him take off for the first time. He did not run a single time in his return against Arizona. I thought he scooted pretty well. He had a first down run. But the arm strength is something that is really, I think it's just hard to tell. Because Brock Purdy does not have a great arm to begin with. And to me, if the turf toe injury loses, if it makes you lose even, you know, a mile or two on your fastball, that makes a difference. One of the things that I always feel does not get talked about enough in the game of baseball is the regression of velocity. If you're someone that throws consistently 95 miles per hour, and the next year you come back and your fastball is at 92 or 93, that may not seem like a lot, but that is a massive difference, because it's enough time for the hitter to make an adjustment. And these guys are incredible at doing such if they have just in a single hundredth of a second longer to hit the ball. In football, think about the way that J.C. Horn had those two interceptions on Monday Night Football against Brock Purdy. And the second pick was, I think, probably just a bad throw, bad choice, the one down the middle into the end zone when he was looking for Pearsall. But the two J.C. Horn interceptions, the first one I thought was a great play by Horn, who I think he might, after last week, be leading the league in INTs. If not, he's damn close. He's a good defensive back. But if Brock Purdy's arm strength was that, again, if he had a mile per hour or less on that throw, if he had had the extra velocity, that he might have been able to fit that ball in there. And the decision that that's why he's thinking this, the decision that he made was a good one. What scares me is that if the toe is impacting him, that's going to impact his ability to execute the throw. And that's not something he's going to be thinking about, because he's making the correct choice in his mind. The decision to put the football into that window is something that he has done repeatedly, both for better or for worse. But if it's just a hair slower, well, that's enough time for a great cornerback like J.C. Horn to get into the middle of that play, make an interception, and change the trajectory or potential outcome of a football game. That's what scares me about the injury. Then I watched Joe Burrow last night. And Joe Burrow dealt with the same injury that Brock Purdy did, actually to a more severe extent, because his turf toe forced him to have surgery. And I think it was he got hurt in week two or week three. But he's been out for quite some time. And it did beg the question a little bit this week why Cincinnati would bring him back, because they won last night. They beat the Ravens. It was a good win. Kind of handled them, to be honest. Along with, I don't know what Lamar Jackson was doing. But Joe Burrow looked like Joe Burrow, right? And I thought he looked mobile. I thought he moved well in the pocket. He didn't look like a guy that wasn't trusting his toe. So in one breath, I watched the Monday night game and I wonder, is Brock Purdy kind of subconsciously being...
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hampered by an injury that he's no longer concerned with, but might still be lingering a little bit. And then I watch Joe Burrow and I say, well, gosh, maybe there's no excuse for the injury. You know, I think it's just such an up-in-the-air type of deal with the uniqueness of turf toe that I'm not really sure how I'm going to be viewing on Sunday when he plays in Cleveland how the toe is affecting him. Because I thought against Arizona he looked just like the Brock Purdy from week one or the Brock Purdy from years past. And he diced up Arizona. He made great decisions pre-snap, audibled into advantageous positions for his offense, put the ball where he need to, where he needed to. And I thought that Brock Purdy played a really good game. And Carolina's not, I mean, they're better than the Cardinals, but they're certainly not world beaters. And he just looked totally different. You know, still wanted to drive the ball down the field up until the second half when I thought Shanahan and his play calling sort of took the ball, if you will, out of Purdy's hands. But you know, to me, that's where the concern is a bit for me. Like, how much is the turf toe impacting him? Or maybe I'm just using that as an excuse. I think one thing that I feel confident in saying is that if Brock Purdy struggles this weekend in Cleveland and continues to struggle through the end of the season, the Niners do have a built-in excuse, and that is the toe. That is the injury. The question is, do you, the viewers, do we, the media, want to give him the benefit of the doubt? And after, again, watching Joe Burrow just his first game back, I'm going to continue to monitor him maybe more than any other quarterback in the league because he's the one guy who shares a similar injury with Brock Purdy. And I know it might be unfair because Joe Burrow's just a better quarterback. Like, I think people often forget just how damn good Joe Burrow is because he plays in Cincy and he's also been kind of injury prone. Like, he's missed more games based on percentage of available games than Brock Purdy has throughout his career. He's been more hurt than Purdy. But when he's available, like when he's well, he's hell. Joe Burrow is awesome and is certainly one of my favorite players to watch play. So that's what I was excited about last night while Pasta was watching the Alex Rodriguez documentary with his lovely family. I was watching Joe Burrow and his healthy toe dice up.
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced?
No, I'm actually saying that because you are experienced, Stephen. Only an experienced member of the sports world would take the time on a sports-driven holiday. In fact, an NFL-driven holiday. Only an experienced sports fan would take that time to learn more about Alex Rodriguez.
It was worth it. I have zero regrets about anything.
How much of there was Bonds in that?
None, actually. He made a cameo when they showed a cover of a Sports Illustrated piece.
So he was in it?
A little bit, just a picture of him. And then a picture of him in the Mitchell Report.
Well, that laugh at the end didn't feel necessary. Although I am right there with you. Okay, so with the toe and Joe Burrow, I don't know if it necessarily calmed the concerns for me about Brock Purdy. But the other question that I think everyone has when they watch him play, and will continue to watch him play unless he, I don't know, turns into the next Drew Brees or Fran Tarkenton, which I don't see happening, but he just dominates at his height and his weight, is will the Niners regret the decision they made this past summer, right? Do they regret the decision to pay him? We all have regretful purchases, right? In fact, maybe a lot of you are going to make them today. Actually, Black Friday is a perfect day to talk about this. How many purchases have you regretted over the last year? I know I have. Whether it's a subscription service, whether it's a shirt or a jacket that I no longer want. Maybe it was something I saw online that I thought was going to be good on me and isn't, and you can return it, but you still regret the purchase. Maybe it was a hardware appliance that isn't actually useful for your home. You know, maybe it's a meal, right? You regret purchasing a piece of food or something that you thought was going to be good because you wanted to try a new place. You wanted to maybe get to a new bar, or you wanted to basically explore, and you regret that choice. I don't think there's buyer's remorse yet, but for those people who weren't fans of paying the contract, and I actually heard Devone and Carter talking about this earlier, the idea of just paying a quarterback in general, not doing it before you have to. And I don't really think that's how it works in sports. You pay people on, especially in the NFL, where there's no fully guaranteed deals, unless you're Deshaun Watson, oddly enough, who's a player who's on the Browns, and they very much regret doing that. But you kind of get paid on what you've done, and teams try and project how much you can help in the future. I mean, I think the Niners have shown that they reward players based on what they've done and hopefully what they can do, but Deebo Samuel capitalized on an amazing all-pro season. He got paid on what he did. I don't think he lived up to that contract afterwards. Another guy who has been in headlines recently, Brandon Ayuk, certainly got paid and capitalized on his one second-team all-pro season where he was a very good wide receiver for the Niners. I don't think anybody believed he was going to live up to a $30 million per year contract. Nick Bosa is another one who had a great start to his young career, finished on a DPOY campaign, capitalized on that year, got paid, and since then, whether it's because it's his fault or not, he just hasn't been very good. He's had one 10-sack season since then. Had 9 a year ago, tore his ACL this season, and has left a lot to be wanted based after the contract that he signed. You know, the two guys who have probably lived up to their deals are Fred Warner and George Kittle. But when they signed their contract extensions this prior summer, they were also being paid based on, I think, larger part, what they've done. And that's where Brock Purdy is no different. I know that he wasn't as dynamic as, you know, a Warner or Kittle for a longer period of time, but the Niners made a choice and they kind of gambled. And I don't think that they regret their decision yet, but if I'm looking at the teams around the NFL that absolutely regret paying their quarterbacks, I think there are a few of them, and that's why I don't believe that Purdy fits into that category. At least not yet. The Miami Dolphins, they regret paying Tua Tagovailoa. They just do. He received a significant contract extension after the year 2024, and I think the concern with him might even be more so his availability than his ability. When he has a good team around him, he's shown you he can be a prolific passer, deliver the ball where it needs to go. I know that, I forget which media member brought it up earlier this week, they called Brock Purdy a right-handed Tua. I think that's a little unfair, but I see the comparisons. Cleveland is the other team who should not have paid Deshaun Watson what they did. A fully guaranteed contract, and a lot of it was because he was available during, a bunch of legal issues that even still might be lingering. But since then, because of suspension, injury, he just hasn't been available for them. And even when he's played, he's been pretty bad. The one guy that I don't think skates necessarily in all of this, but people don't really care about how much he makes is the guy we saw yesterday beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott is, I think, an interesting quarterback to look at because he makes the most money of anybody in the league. He makes $60 million a year. He's the highest paid quarterback. And I don't think that anybody would ever say that Dak is the best quarterback in the league. He's had a couple of good, some even really good, regular seasons. And he can put up numbers when he's got guys around him. And oddly enough, the Cowboys have seemingly, I think they've always invested in the offensive side of the football because they understand that they got to be a show in addition to being a good football team. Dak Prescott has always had ample weapons. Right now he's got two really good ones on the outside. But when Dak has good stuff around him, he can make some things happen and he can be a good quarterback. But he hasn't had the kind of success that you would want to see from a dude who's paid that amount of money. Even still, I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys regret paying Dak Prescott. And that's why I wouldn't say that the Niners do either. You know, the one thing that could determine whether or not they do or don't, I think, is going to be if this toe injury lingers or if he re-aggravates it or if it turns into an issue this summer. What the Niners have also always showed us is that they're not afraid to move on if they have to. They're not afraid to correct their incorrect choices. And that's something that I'm not willing to say is going to be based on the rest of this season. But I do think that Kyle Shanahan is going to be paying very close attention to how well Brock Purdy takes care of the football. Because right now he has thrown too many picks. He's given other teams too many opportunities. And he has left his team vulnerable. So far this year, I think in two games, they won the Carolina game, they lost the Jacksonville game, but he's left his team in a disadvantageous spot more often certainly than the head coach, and I think the fans would also tell you that they won. All right, we're going to continue on here as we roll on towards 4 o'clock, 1 hour and three to go. Evan Giddings with you, flying solo here on 95.7 The Game on a Black Friday. Big thanks to everybody who has tuned in, everybody driving around. Hope you're being safe. Hope you got what you want today, and I hope you did not regret any of the purchases that you make. More ahead here on 95.7 The Game.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.